dump. News dump, May 12th, 2022, and I am Pat McAfee-ing this right now, standing up for a dump.
That's nice. You actually, you should get one of those exercise balls that Dwight Schrute tries.
Work my core at the same time?
Right.
Speaking of working my core, Mac, and it says right here on your screen, birthday boy, Mac's an old bitch now.
Yeah, I've caught up to you in years on this planet, a crisp 33. I made the joke a year or two ago. Every year I get older, the more my head starts to make sense. My baldness actually works for me.
Okay.
I think right around now it's more fitting. At 28, not so much. I think it was like around 28 when I really was like, all right, I got to start addressing this like on a weekly basis.
Well, I do want to commend you for addressing the balding, you know, part of your life. Because you said, I don't want to be one of them dings. I'll just be bald.
Yeah, no, I don't like the Costanza U-shape. You know, I'm not the Larry David thing. I think it's a terrible look. Now, it is a pain in the ass to, like, keep up with shaving your dome piece. It stinks. So I if there's anyone out there that wants to offer free laser hair removal, please do it to my dome piece.
Now, speaking of Costanza, speaking of Larry David, Mac, we did have our trivia for Seinfeld last night, and may I say, smashing success.
Yeah, this was a good one. It was a lot of big teams last night. I think it was a lot of, you know, fans that have come in the past, brought parents. My dad and uncle showed up. They loved taking part in it.
Good.
It's so funny that, like, my dad and my uncle, like, bar trivia is still like an entirely new thing to them.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for 10, 15 years participating. My dad was like, he's like, so you do this all the time? I was like, yeah, we pick a topic and then we do trivia on it. And he's like, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, it is.
And then speaking of picking topics, speaking of you being a bald bitch, Mac, we have also picked our topic for June 8th next month. What is it?
Yeah, Wednesday, June 8th, 7 p.m., Idle Hands Craft Ales, 89 Commercial Street. We are going to be doing Breaking Bad trivia. Now, of course, Better Call Saul meets its mid-season break next week. So this is a perfect tie-in. There'll be 6 episodes left of Saul, you know, which obviously is a subsidiary of Breaking Bad. It operates in the same universe, a lot of the same characters, a lot of new characters. But that's the jumping off point. I've been wanting to go back and rewatch Breaking Bad for a couple years now. I haven't watched it in a bit. So that'll be a good jumping off point. And I think we're going to start doing more of these popular television shows, because what we have discovered very quickly, and it started with The Office, we come up with questions and we just ask 20 questions of trivia, and it works out well for timing and whatnot and enjoyability. We could ask 60 very easily. So there's always leftover questions. So it's sort of turning into this series.
Well, you kind of mentioned that right there is we already have 15 questions for the next time we do Seinfeld trivia.
Right. It's super simple to produce this stuff. And then you can you can do it on both micro and macro. You know, we can do an episode for a full category, or we can do more broad stuff. And so I very much enjoy doing this sort of stuff, and we find a good balance while doing it too.
And if you are looking for the Seinfeld questions, shoot me a DM, because I will have those cleaned up and ready to go for home consumption so that you can play with your family and bring them into this friendship.
Yeah, and the Seinfeld one was pretty competitive. All the teams did pretty well. But it was a 3-horse race at the end, and only one of the top 3 got the final question right. And of course, you know, you just got to remember Putty's twist on the Seinfeld move.
News dimp. Mac, Avatar, Still Blue has broken the world.
Oh, God, that's Avatar.
More views in one day than Star Wars or Pixar, or so Disney tells us. Avatar 2 is gonna rock your world.
Avatar 2, Still Blue. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's something about water, deep water. No, that's the Anna de Armas movie, right?
Yeah, not very good.
Avatar 2, The Watering Hole. Of all those views, Goo, none of them, 0, came from me. I will not be seeing this movie. I will not be watching the trailer. I do not care about this gigantic piece of shit.
Now, I will say that this does trail by a good amount of Eiffel 65's I'm Blue, which as of right now on the main video, because there's multiple videos on YouTube, the actual published video, 266 million views.
Oh, it's going to catch up then. By next week, I bet it has more.
I think that this actually goes ahead of it. Like, this is going to pick up even more steam, and Eiffel 65 is coming back.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue
Do you think the
world.
Two have a working relationship like that? Eiffel 65 sees a bump every time.
Well, I think the first movie was called
like
I'm Blue.
Inside and outside, blue
Eiffel 65.
If you think this spot is going to end, you're wrong. I have the whole song right here. We're going to get taken down very, very quickly.
Copyright strike from Eiffel 65.
They look for people to listen to. Listen to.
Was that 98? 99?
I don't know. I forget. Somewhere around youth hockey, I think.
I think it was 98, I want to say. 98 into 99, maybe?
Yeah.
Or 99, 2000, because Y2K, we were in fifth grade, right?
And speaking of that time of our lives, when we were kids and we would have, I don't know, appreciated a Star Wars prequel, news dump. Ewan McGregor has rewatched the Star Wars prequels and he said, quite enjoyable. I enjoyed them a lot, actually. He said that he loved the third episode, Revenge of the Sith, to which Hayden Christensen said,
I like them. You know, I like them. Our episode three is really good. It's a really good movie. And
it's a phenomenal film.
Yeah.
Non-stop action.
It's a phenomenal film. Non-stop action.
McGregor! I think you added one too many G's. I don't know if there's a double G in there. But anyway.
I think there's three G's. Triple's the safest.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so McGregor said, you know, we made the prequels for the kids. They weren't written very nicely about by the critics. We now meet those people that really love our films, but it's taken 15 years for us to hear that, and it's so nice. It changed my relationship with Star Wars. He's making up a subset of people.
Nope. They're on Twitter, man. They're on Twitter. Exist. Look them up.
But those people always existed then.
Yeah.
It's the same people. It's not new people. People aren't going back and watching the prequels and finding a newfound love for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. Not at all. If anything, you go back, you watch Duel of Fates, right?
Yeah.
You skip everything in two because it's
not
the worst
good,
thing
yeah.
in the Star Wars universe. And then you might watch all of Sith.
And he did bring up, and he's completely right about this, is that for him and for Christensen, working with the blue and green screens was extremely difficult.
Yeah, so that is absolutely a fair point in, like, defending them in
yeah.
that movie, in that because that was also really new back in
1998. Well, he also does say that too, is like, we don't blame George for this because, like, he was on the forefront of something new that no one else was doing. It was just really right. difficult for us.
Yeah, and now we have a whole generation of actors that have grown up acting against blue and green screens, and,
yeah.
and they have better technology in-house to show you in real time sort of what you're acting up against too. Just technology's come so far in 25 years, but again, I understand, like, the apologists for these, like what McGregor's saying to a certain extent, but it does not make the movies good, and it will never make the movies good. Sith is redeemable. It has redeemable parts. The first two are pretty bad.
And then Christensen was talking about having to work with the blue screens.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world, and all day and all night, and everything he sees blue, like him, inside and outside.
Blue his house and a blue little window. This is not going to last on YouTube.
And everything is blue for him and himself because he ain't got nobody to listen.
So when you guys are looking for this on YouTube later, you know why it's not here.
It's just going to be muted audio the whole time. You'll see our stupid fucking faces.
News dump. Dave Bautista says goodbye to Drax. Guardians 3 has wrapped up shooting. And, Mac, what did he say?
Well, first of all, you should be playing Vitamin C Graduation as a bed during this. He posted a photo on Instagram with the caption, "Haven't found the words yet. It ended so suddenly, and I was on to my next film before I could process it all. End of a journey that changed my life," with a bunch of hashtags. I think Dave Bautista getting that Drax role in 2014 in the original Guardians of the Galaxy has literally given him an acting career.
Yeah.
Because Dave Bautista, who I knew and loved from WWE, I liked his character in WWE, But part of his character was not saying much. He was not very good on the mic. And so that type of guy usually doesn't translate to a dramatic or funny actor the way some of Cena's stuff has done, the way some of The Rock's stuff has done. So Dave Bautista's acting chops literally came out of nowhere. So he had this, he had the second Guardians film. And also in his like 8 minutes in Blade Runner 2049, he's fucking spectacular. He's obviously now in Dune. He's getting all sorts of stuff. And he's, every time I've seen him, he's been very good. Even in that shitty Zack Snyder zombie movie, he was perfectly fine in that role.
News damp. Taika talks Thor Mac, and he has had some stuff to say. He said it is a fantastic film, giving his own review of his own movie, and is cooler than he expected it to be. He also teases that Thor Love and Thunder is a Thor's midlife crisis film, which sounds pretty cool. Also, the first shot of Thor and Jane side by side has been tweeted out. She's got some pythons rolling right now, tell you that much. And he said, in my humble opinion, we probably have the best villain that Marvel has ever seen in Christian Bale. And also, I'm just going to keep on saying and also and add more stuff. And then Jane Foster's Thor will be a mindfuck for Odinson.
So to me, the two comments that stick out there, cooler than it expected, than he expected it to be. And I think that's in part because if you go back to 2017 when Ragnarok came out, I don't think Hemsworth knew the type of movie he was shooting until well into it, right?
Yeah.
And now that he knows that cool, fun Thor character that got established in that movie, now he can play around even more with it, you know, that we saw in Infinity War and in Endgame. So I'm very excited for Hemsworth to, like, be in that mindset going into it. You have some of the Guardians at play. Like, that coolness factor is going to play up. You have Dave Bautista's Drax. You have all that. And then secondly, him stating that he has probably the best villain that Marvel's ever had, considering Thanos just had a 23 movie run as an incredible villain. And, you know, we have Killmonger and even Loki. That's interesting because we sort of have this mindset here. And again, we don't really know, especially after Multiverse of Madness, that Kang's the next big bad.
Mm-hmm.
We might be underselling how much Gore's going to play for this whole
Well, next even if Gore's a one-off, it's still Christian Bale.
Yeah, true. It could be a very Killmonger thing, you know.
Keaton-like thing too, yeah.
I could see it being like that. I just don't know how we're going to, the audience, if they pull it off, it'll be impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know how the audience is going to get behind a God Slayer like that. I don't know what they're going to show us in Gore's backstory to make us really get behind him. That said, Christian Bale might crush it in, say, the way Ledger did as the Joker. It could be that type of thing. So I'm very excited.
News dip. Speaking of Marvel, we have learned that Ms. Marvel's power sets, of course, Ms. Marvel's coming out in June, I think on the day of our trivia, maybe.
Yes, first episode will be our trivia.
And the power set will be more of a kicky punchy, less of a stretchy stretchy.
Yeah, so I think she has a very similar power to Reed Richards, right?
Yes, and I believe that she was created while Disney did not have control over the Fantastic Four, so it was to have a character like that in the movies without getting the Fantastic Four back.
Yeah, and she was also in the Avengers game that came out for PS4, PS5.
Yeah.
I did like have that. A little bit of playtime with her, and it was a lot of Reed Richards-like stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they transform her here because, you know what, actually, maybe we're going to be ready for that because after Multiverse of Madness and we saw a lot of glowy snowballs being thrown at people, I wonder if we're more ready for like that street level kicky punchy type of story.
But a strong kicky punchy.
Well, sure. In a Jess Jones way. If this could be Jess Jones on steroids, that's fucking
a better
really
looking
good.
Jess Jones.
Right.
But Jess Jones had the better storylines though.
And of course, Ms. Marvel, I don't think her character is as dark as Jess Jones.
No.
But if we get something like Jess Jones, but made a little bit better, now we're in good shape.
I think Feige also alluded to the powers not looking great with TV as opposed to movies.
Sure, yeah. And in general, obviously. But like we all have great home setups. You know, I got a nice TV
fucking
away from me here.
Brag.
But it's still nothing like going to a theater and seeing it on a 100-foot screen.
News down. Little multiverse of newsness, Mac.
Oh,
we'll be answering our Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness questions coming up this Goose Day. So we will tackle all of the post-movie, well, this happened, and then this was also going to happen, and we almost had this person in the movie. We'll be discussing that on Goose Day, plus we'll answer our questions. So please stay tuned.
Oh, you don't want to let me talk on this one.
There's no need to.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to stress, I don't think we're going to spend as much time on our questions because we didn't get anything right, and talk more about Raimi and Waldron are doing a lot of press for this movie this week. And I think they're trying to save it in the eyes of a lot of fans. So I think we're going to talk about a lot of what they've talked about in the last couple of weeks.
I also want to point out that in that episode, because people are like, well, the people that don't like the movie just wanted more cameos. You said in the episode, my question to you was, would you prefer a story or cameos? And you made it very, very well known that you just wanted a good story.
Yeah. Yep. Because this movie, and again, I don't want to get totally into it, but this movie should have been the spine of what's coming next in the MCU, and it's not at all.
News down. No Superbad sequel. Jude Apatow kind of pitched what he wanted from the sequel because Jonah Hill joked around about wanting to have a bunch of old fucks.
This is for the best.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. You know, comedy sequels fail most of the time. So I don't want to ruin what many consider the best comedy of all time.
It's I love it. Yeah.
Top seven for me, but it's in the conversation. There's just no, it would be like making a Step Brothers too. You just can't do it.
Apatow said that what he wanted to do was make it in the college setting of now Jonah Hill's character drops out of college and then has to go and hang out with Michael Cera's character. Another one night
thing. I'd
rather
just make another fun, like, Jump Street movie, a movie that's already making fun of itself. I don't think you can do it with Superbad, but give me 23 Jump Street. Why not?
Also, Apatow has tried to make sequels of his movies in the past, kind of. Like, this is 40. It was a good idea. It was a good idea, but it was 5 hours long.
The worst movie I've seen this year is called The Bubble, made by Judd Apatow on Netflix. It's fucking terrible.
Is that when people are all inside of a giant green screen, or was it a...
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world.
It's gonna get me every time. It's gonna get me every single time.
Comedy comes in threes.
Inside and outside, blew his house.
You as an artist, classical paint artist.
Yeah.
When do you use blue screen versus green screen?
News dump. Top Gun Maverick is getting rave reviews on the Rotten Tomatoes. 41 reviews are in, and they're all positive 100%.
Yeah, we also got a really early screening opportunity that neither
yesterday, actually.
Make.
Or Tuesday. Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And generally, when we get really early screening opportunities, it bodes well for the movie.
And they also had the screening in IMAX, so they're like, check this out. Check out what we did. And I couldn't make that because I have to fucking work.
Because it was 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
10 a.m. on a Tuesday, but we do have a pre-screening on a Monday before. So we'll check that out, and we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not overly excited for this movie, but it's the classic. To me, it's shaping up to be the classic popcorn movie where you go in, I'm going to really enjoy the action in it, and then I'll never think about the movie again.
I will say this once again, having to do with this movie versus the original, is that Tom Cruise is a completely different actor now, and he's a legit superstar now.
Right. Very true. And to answer JT Navarro's question in the chat, JT, yes, it is a green screen behind me, and I, too, think it's brilliant because I'm in my bedroom here, so sometimes a little mess, a little stuff here and there. So what I did, you know, X amount of days ago when we started this whole thing, I took a couple pictures of my ideal setup behind me, and now I just use the green screen.
And to answer JT's question for the future, for when he asked me, I'm in a giant gray blob standing up. News dump. Mac, the Toxic Avenger starring, that's going to star Peter Dinklage. This is a super long headline by me. And it's going to be rated
R. That's
why
I changed...
And it's going to have graphic nudity and gore. They're remaking The Toxic Avenger. Peter Dinklage, rated R, graphic nudity, gore.
I'm sure there are people out there that don't know what The Toxic Avenger is. It is a B-movie that was made in the 80s, maybe the late 70s, but I think early 80s. It's on Amazon Prime if you want to go watch it. I tried watching it one day. and it's so bad I couldn't even get through it. And that's the point. It's supposed to be so bad that it's good. It's a cult classic. There are a lot of people that love that shit. I don't particularly care for it. I don't know how you're supposed to remake a B movie set in a certain time and era. And like, I just don't.
With like a classically trained actor in Peter Dinklage.
Right. It's just, I don't.
Also,
no,
how graphic is this nudity?
Well, okay. That might rope me back in.
Yeah. News dump. Reports say that Netflix does not want to make any more sadcoms, known to us as sad comedies, in the year 2022.
I just need Netflix to narrow their scope. They're making too many things.
Yeah.
Focus on a few great things the way, say, HBO Max is. I mean, HBO is completely different.
Yeah.
But if you give me like two, maybe three really good shows a year, that's all I need to justify the streaming service. What I don't need is what Netflix is giving us is like 250 shitty movies. I don't need that. I don't want that.
Yeah, so they said that they want to do more New Girl stuff and less BoJack Horseman. And I loved BoJack Horseman, but midway through season four, I'm like, I'm really sad. I got to stop watching this.
Yeah, and to that point, if you're talking like restreamability, shows like The Office, New Girl is that for some people. People aren't going back and watching BoJack Horseman on a loop. They're just not doing it.
So, news dump. Mac, we got some gameplay and news for Gotham Knights, and this is Hayden Christensen's review.
Nonstop action.
It stinks.
They released gameplay footage of Red Hood and Nightwing. And again, this is going to be the co-op DC video game. Now we know not released on last gen, only what is the new one? Xbox One?
XS?
Something, whatever it is. Yeah. And PS5.
PC as well.
Like 3 minutes of gameplay footage and showed off some of the features. I don't know. It looks like the game was made in like 2014.
It looks really bad. There's very little realism to the build of the characters, and the fighting looks super wonky, right?
And I think that's why they made the decision to stop making it for last gen and try to boost it, juice it up for the next gen, because it doesn't look like a next gen game at the moment. And I also like, I don't like the backstory that they're using for Red Hood, that he's like a soulless Red Hood and he can fucking bounce on the air. I don't like that.
What was that? And then also when Nightwing jumped off the building and a glider just showed up.
Yeah, that's not, this is shaping up to be something we don't want to play. And also the worst part about it, I think the way that you would get people to play it anyways, is it was teased. I don't know if it was promised, but it was just teased as a four-person co-op game.
If it was four-person, I would still get it just to play it with other people.
Agree.
But if it's two,
this fun factor would go higher.
Yes.
Now you're telling us there's four playable characters, but you can only do two-player co-op. Get the fuck out of my face with that.
Although I did hear that someone does want to play with you if it's a two-person co-op.
It's nonstop action.
Out. I'm out on playing video games with Anakin.
News dump. This week in the DSG Mac, we will be live at Idle Hands Craft Ales, 89 Commercial Street, Malden, Massachusetts, this Sunday at 3 o'clock with the hashtag Dork Podcast, doing the top 25 comic book movies of all time. If you want 50 through 26, Dork has a full episode on that. We also have a news dump with a quick rundown, but I am stoked to get back.
That is
going to
be Sunday, May 15th. If you're listening to this between now and then, 3 p.m. at Idle Hands. And other than that, this past week, I think everyone pretty much did Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yep.
And probably next week, I think everyone's doing Moon Knight.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to compare our thoughts. It's seemingly, I think we're all sort of around it on Strange. I almost feel like Dork liked it less than we did.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because Davey's such a big Raimi
guy. We just sound more negative because of the tones of our voices.
Sure.
I can't control it going up and down.
I'll be interested to hear people's Moon Knight thoughts because there's not a lot of stuff. I didn't review Moon Knight very highly, but there's not a lot of stuff I disliked from Moon Knight. So I could see someone maybe liking it a lot more than me.
I think the issue with Moon Knight is it's so middling.
Yeah.
So those are the worst ones to talk about.
The next up is Ms. Marvel. And it's another character I don't really know much about. So if that's a miss too, that'll be a bummer. But again, we got Thor in July. I think July, right? So that's hopefully the saving.
Hayden Christensen saw an early screening of Thor.
It's a phenomenal film. Yeah. It's nonstop action.
Nice.
Thanks, Hayden.
It's nonstop action. And then we did Moon Knight this past week.
Yes.
So I guess that'll do it for right now. We'll do our 21 questions on Doctor Strange next Tuesday.
News
dump.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy.
This is our new Freakazoid.
Only for news dump. It's Blues Dump.
And all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside.
You people are never going to hear this episode.
You really nailed it with the blue puns today. I must admit.
Let's let the little thing in. Here we go. Wrap up. Got nobody to listen to.
To listen. I'm blue. I might go Numa Numa Man on him.